everyone to the gift of grace. This is Phil Giuliani with Steve Garchar, and we're talking about some interesting things in the book of Acts, and we've been through what happened to the believers after they heard Peter, you know, after they heard Peter speak and became believers and filled with the Spirit, and the church was growing, and they were meeting in the temple, and they were praying, and they were having the Lord's Supper in houses. And when we get to chapter 3, we have just another awesome example of the power that's going on in their lives now. And I think we're going to start by having Steve read the beginning of chapter 3, which covers this miracle, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. Why don't you go ahead, Steve?
Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. And a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, every day to beg for alms from the people who entered the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of the Nazarene, rise and walk." Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles grew strong. He leapt up, stood, and walked around, and went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit begging at the Beautiful Gate of the temple, and they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
When they see signs and wonders, it gets everybody's attention.
Oh, yeah.
Like the blind guy who Jesus cured, and they go, "Is he really blind? You know,
right.
Is this really that same guy?"
Yeah. They're giving him a hard time, and he just received his sight back.
Now, they knew who this guy was.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that Peter and John are doing this now. Now, Peter and John are really different. You know, John was the youngest guy. I mean, he was a teenager, probably, when he was hanging around, and probably still is. I mean, he's probably not even 20 yet. Mm-hmm. Peter's older. They had different personalities. Yeah. And interestingly, they each had a brother who was an apostle.
Right.
Peter's brother was Andrew, and John's brother was James. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, they each had a brother who was an apostle. Mm-hmm. And they at this point, they're together in a very powerful way. You know, even we were talking before, I think on the last show, that, you know, Peter was always asking questions and saying stuff. And, you know, he even said to Jesus, "Well, what about him?" You know, and pointed to John. And Jesus, "Well, it's none of your business what I'm doing with him. You just worry about what I'm doing with you." So now here they are together, and they go walking into the temple. At the time, it's an hour of prayer. It's the ninth hour. It's 3 p.m., mm-hmm. which is one of the main hours. It's really the main hour of prayer.
Right.
And at the gate that's called Beautiful. So we don't know, since the temple's not there anymore, we don't know exactly what that looked like. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different opinions as to what that was. But anyway, it had to have been a beautiful thing if it was called the gate, if it's the gate that's called Beautiful.
Right.
So it's probably very ornate. And since there was so much traffic always going in and out of the temple, it was a great place for a beggar to sit. Mm-hmm. And especially at, you know, just before 3 p.m., if you were a beggar, you knew everybody was going to be going into the temple.
Right.
So it was a great location, great location to be begging. And, you know, Peter and John, they're, you know, they're walking in together. So they're going in to pray. Mm-hmm. You know, they are still... The temple is still the center of their life. They're right. There every day.
Right.
You know, they're going to go to Solomon's portico in a minute, but they're going every day to the temple. And they're not only are they praying, but they're teaching there.
Yes.
You know, and as you read many times in the book of Acts, that they have people sitting around them in the temple grounds, and they're teaching. They still have a very Jewish existence. And of course, at this point, probably 99% of the people that are in, you know, this infant church, or, you know, this church is just growing, probably 99% of the believers at this point are Jews.
Right.
and they're the first Messianic Jews. Mm-hmm. And it was a very Jewish church. So if you have been brought up in this and you've been studying Torah and studying the prophets, where else do you go to pray but to the temple?
To the temple, yeah.
And he goes every day.
Right.
And that's where he, you know, engages people and he teaches them. So Peter and John go in together and they see this guy. Now, it says he's been paralyzed since he was born. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have a, you know, car accident and got paralyzed, and it wasn't some kind of horrible thing that happened to him. He's born that way.
Right.
So this man has never walked. And I don't think it tells us how old he is, but whatever it is, he's never walked, and he just gets carried around by somebody probably, mm-hmm. and they put him down there, and he begs for his living because, I mean, obviously he can't work.
Right.
There's no disability programs. So you're basically relying on the kindness of people walking by and say, oh, here's a couple of shekels or here's a couple of coins or whatever it is so that the guy can eat.
Right.
And interestingly, he looks at them because he wants some money from them.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, we may see homeless people downtown that as you walk by, they look at you and go, shake their cup or look at you like, hey, you've got some change or dollar or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he looks at them because he wants some money. And the interesting thing about this is he starts out by wanting money, and he gets a whole lot more than that.
Oh, yeah.
He gets a whole lot more than that, and so much more important than just the money, because – he gets a physical cure, which is really awesome, and he gets a spiritual cure.
Exactly.
Which we're going to see in a second. And within a very short period of time, this paralyzed beggar gets physically cured, spiritually cured, and this was not what he was bargaining for. He just wanted, you know, a couple of coins or a shekel or whatever they had.
Wasn't expecting it when he came to the temple.
No, no. And, you know, I think that happens to us, too.
Right.
I mean, we pray for things and we say, you know, Lord, I really need this thing. I really want this thing. And if you could just, you know, give me this little thing here, that would be nice. And sometimes we get a whole lot more than we're asking for.
Well, I think you're exactly right, because if you think if anybody really looks at their life before they gave their life over to the Lord or had that moment of that conversion of mm-hmm. heart. You know, usually what you were praying for, you got a whole lot more than what you were praying for.
Yes.
And so your life is radically, you know, it's transformed to, you know, you're transformed to serve the Lord.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And it's interesting that they kind of fix their eyes on each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a really intense thing. You know, they're looking at each other, eye contact.
Right.
Peter and John and the beggar. It's not a casual walking by and they just, you know,
a casual glance,
put a hand on their head and pray over the guy or say, oh, God bless you and hope you have a nice day. Mm-hmm. It's a really intense moment where they have their eyes fixed on each other.
A divine appointment.
Yeah, exactly. And he says, well, you know, I can't give you any money. I mean, Peter didn't have any much money. I don't know if he took up collections when he was teaching, but
that's the collection.
But they would, But they shared all the money they had, and they shared all the stuff they had. So, you know, Peter wasn't walking around with all kinds of money on him.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, "I don't have any money, but let me tell you what I do have. I can give you for free." And the guy's probably thinking, "Oh, great! I just want some money. I don't care. You know, there's nothing. If you have something that's free, it's probably not going to help me out."
Yeah.
And interestingly, you know, he calls Jesus of Nazareth, which, you know, is his earthly name. And that, you know, he says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. So he connects the earthly Jesus of Nazareth, with now the risen, powerful Jesus that's going to do an amazing miracle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the term Jesus of Nazareth is interesting because, you know, can anything good come from Nazareth? As it says in John chapter 1 when Nathaniel said that in a very snotty way.
Right.
You know, Galilee was like a backwoods kind of place.
Yeah.
And even the Pharisees said, well, no prophet's ever come from Galilee.
Right.
So, you know, why we, you know, we're not going to listen to him. But now, you know, he connects the earthly Jesus with the powerful risen Jesus mm-hmm. and tells him to stand up and walk.
Yeah.
And the guy's completely healed.
Yeah. You really see the charism of faith in Peter yeah. and yeah. in the apostles as they're preaching. They, yeah. they believe, you know, we talked about that, two shows ago, I think, that the, you know, the charismatic gift of faith is believing that God's mm-hmm. going to act in a certain way. And mm-hmm. they're listening, you know, they're listening to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And Peter, there's no doubt in Peter's mind. There's no hesitation in Peter's mind of what he's going to do.
He just proclaims.
Says, hey, listen, come here.
In the name of Jesus, get up and walk.
Yep.
And he walks.
There's no hesitation. He doesn't turn to John and say, well, you think we should pray for this guy? Or do you think?
Do you think the Lord's going to move now?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should just go inside and.
But as you say that, that's a big stumbling block to anyone who's in ministry mm-hmm. is being hesitant and, you know, second guessing mm-hmm. somewhat. Sure. Oh gosh, is the Lord going to move here? Or really, I think it comes down to, am I going to look
yes.
foolish? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a big hesitation.
Yeah. If he would have said, stand up and walk, and the guy wouldn't have been able to stand up and walk, he would have looked pretty foolish.
Right.
And people who were standing there would have said, oh, great.
Yeah.
And the guy would have said, do you have any money? So that would have been a disaster.
Right.
But as it is, the guy's asking for money or thinks he's going to get money. Name of Jesus, stand up and walk. They get the guy up and it says his ankles get strong, his legs get strong. Mm-hmm. And what does he do? He starts walking around, leaping around, praising God.
Praising God, yeah. He's happy.
Yeah. So he gets physical strength. I mean, he's never stood in his whole life, let alone walked, leaped.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound like before this he was praising God a lot.
Right.
But right. now he's running around the place praising God.
And everybody sees it.
Yeah, and everybody sees it. And so he's been physically cured. He's been spiritually cured. He's got this spiritual strength now where he realizes that he's been cured in a very miraculous way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know exactly what, if he thinks Peter did it, but Peter did it in the name of Jesus, and he realizes something amazing has happened.
Yeah.
And when Peter and John go walking in, you know, Jesus and the apostles had walked into the temple area many times.
Many times, right.
And people had come up to him and to Jesus, right. and he would have cured him or talked to him or said something to him. Mm-hmm. You know, people came there and he cured them. And now Peter and John are walking in there with authority.
Right.
Not like before where they were just following Jesus around going, oh boy, we're going to the temple again.
Yeah.
But they walk in there with authority just as if he's walking with them.
Right.
Which, of course, he is.
He is by the Spirit.
Yeah. But they're filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he, in a very powerful way, says, stand up and walk.
You know, they're now walking with, they're now proclaiming the word with the same authority that Jesus spoke. Because you would always hear
exactly
the scribes or the Pharisees ask Jesus, by whose authority do you speak this way? Or,
yes.
you know, well, who gives you the authority to do these things? And now they're doing the exact same thing. And the people are amazed in the temple. They're astounded. And Peter recognizes this and he just goes right into another.
Yeah.
Evangelistic moment.
Yeah. I mean, this is witnessed by many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
And again, things don't happen randomly because it's a time where lots of people are going into the temple.
Right.
And so this happens as people are walking by, as people are standing there going, what are Peter and John doing with that guy?
Right.
So they're kind of stopping to look. Then all of a sudden, the guy's up on his feet. And he's dancing around and he's praising and they say, oh, he's become a charismatic. But, it's a, everyone around is marveling because they know who this guy is.
They've seen him, you know.
Yes. Maybe every day.
Yeah.
And they know what his problems were. They knew that this guy had never walked.
Mm-hmm.
They saw him there every day. They saw him begging with his little cup or whatever, looking pathetic. I mean, in those days, you looked pathetic because there was nobody that was going to come. You know, there were no visiting nurses coming to your house. And, you know, if you didn't have a relative to take care of you, I mean, you were in serious trouble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he probably sat there on some kind of a mat, maybe all day long. And then somebody carried him back to wherever he stayed. Mm-hmm. And now, even though everybody knew who this guy was, now they see him up on his feet, dancing, singing, praising. And they say, wow, this guy has been totally changed. So they marvel at that because there's no question of what's happened.
And they're looking at Pete, and they start looking at Peter and John as well.
Exactly.
Like,
yes, did you guys do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were so amazed by this that they said, we got to hear what these guys have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So it says they went to Solomon's portico to hear them preaching. Peter and John just like walk over to Solomon's portico. And now that the other people there have seen this happen, they got like a whole crowd of people going with mm-hmm. them.
And Peter recognized that.
Yes. Exactly.
And he sees the moment.
Exactly.
Well, the Spirit sees the moment.
Exactly. And, you know, they had seen this awesome miracle, so he had a crowd.
A big crowd, yeah.
Yes, because signs and wonders always attract crowds.
Mm-hmm.
And it always makes an impression on the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Like the guy who was lowered through Peter's roof.
Right.
And we don't know who fixed Peter's roof, but the guy was lowered down through Peter's roof. And when Jesus says, your sins are forgiven, everybody just sat there going, huh? Yeah. But when he said, get up and walk, everybody said, whoa.
Yeah.
Because when you do, when the signs and wonders come through, when the miracle happens, and people who are there say, hey, that guy couldn't walk.
Mm-hmm.
This guy couldn't walk. And they might have seen him in the morning when they were walking by. And now at 3:02, he's dancing around.
Dancing around.
So Peter's got an audience now, and he takes this opportunity to preach, and he preaches Jesus.
Right.
After all, that's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Paul says, I preach Jesus and him crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Peter takes this opportunity to preach Jesus.
Right.
He doesn't do any kind of esoteric teaching or any kind of talking about what had just happened. He just leaps into another sermon.
An awesome sermon.
An awesome sermon.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, our guy Peter's doing really good Bible studies. And,
he's on a roll.
Yeah, he's on a roll. And, you know, Peter says, hey, we're not the ones who did this. Because Peter, you know, people are probably saying, wow, you know, Peter and John cured this guy. We got to go over and, you know, have them do something with us. And we got to go hang out with them for a while.
Yeah.
He says, hey, don't marvel at us. It's not about us. And, yeah. You know, it's interesting. If you have it ready there, Steve, do you want to read his sermon?
Sure. This is Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 12. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people. You Israelites, why are you amazed at this? And why do you look so intently at us as if we had made him walk by our own power or piety? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence, when he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name, this man whom you see and know, his name has made strong, meaning the name of Jesus. And the faith that comes through it has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you.
Wow.
Wow.
That's awesome. So he says, hey, it's not about us. John and I didn't do this. Let me tell you. And it's interesting, too, that now remember, he's in the temple area. He's talking to Jews.
Right.
He's not talking to Romans. He's not talking to Greeks. He's talking to Jews. And it's interesting that he talks about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, you know, many times in the Old Testament, when God kind of introduces himself, he says, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.
Right.
Because then there's no question who this is that's talking. There's no question this is the Hebrew God, the God of Israel, because right. he's known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Right.
And it's interesting that Peter uses that here and says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did this. So the Jews understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hear some more messianic music, which means we're coming up to another break. And the time's just going too fast, but we'll be back in a couple of minutes with the last part of the program.